Jones.
Hey, man.
It's time for Dukes and Bell, the best sports talk duo breaking down the hottest topics in the ATL.
Wait a minute.
That's huge, big.
We like our sports like we like our brew. Fresh and crisp to the last out.
Yeah.
Carl Dukes.
You're not listening.
And Mike Bell.
Give me a freaking break.
Are about to take over the airwaves.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Carl Dukes and Mike Bell.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. And Mike, we start off the show today with a friend and certainly the best in the business and ESPN's Adam Schefter, who jumps on with this because guys are reporting to camp. He's also involved in a venture that we're going to talk about with diabetes, and he's helping folks out as he always does. Adam Schefter, man, what is going on? How you doing, brother?
Carl, Mike, how you doing today?
Man, we are good. I mean, Adam, I know you're excited. I was watching a little bit of you guys this morning, and guys reporting around NFL camps, and obviously camp for the Falcons starts tomorrow. I want to get your opinions on just some of the storylines that we've been talking about as we get the show started today, Adam. And, of course, the thing that everybody kind of is focused on before we talk a little Falcons with you is this Micah Parsons deal. What do you make of what Jerry Jones has said and how this is going? It feels like it's going left, doesn't it?
Well, it is going left right now, and I think if we go back to the NFL league meeting in early April, late March, Jerry Jones was quoted as saying, like, he and Micah were having positive discussions, moving down the line, deal he thought might be getting done, and then shortly thereafter, Micah Parsons came out and tweeted, any deal that gets done will have to involve my agent, David Mulgeta.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I think happened at that time is that Micah thought he was doing a positive thing that probably turned into something that became counterproductive. Because he and the Cowboys advanced the ball down the field. They were getting ready to score. And before they scored, Micah tried a handoff with his agent. At that point in time, I don't think Dallas really wants to deal with the agent. It had an understanding. And so when Micah handed it to the agent, Dallas stopped the game. The game has been on pause, and that's kind of where we are right now.
Man, Adam, it just seems like Jerry, every time he speaks, I don't want to, you know, cast any aspersions, but it doesn't seem like it's helping the situation. Same could be said for Mike Brown with the Bengals. What do you see happening there with two different players, both a guy who's already been playing for him and a guy who hasn't been on the field yet?
Well, you're talking about Trey Hendrickson now?
Yeah.
I spoke to him for a while on Monday night, not happy. I mean, guaranteed money, 1 year. They're not offering him enough. And so I think he's in Jacksonville right now, awaiting an offer that hasn't materialized over the better part of two off seasons. He's frustrated. They're frustrated. And look, when you're not there, it's $50,000 a day mandatory fine. He's making a statement by not being there.
Yeah, I agree. And look, the way he is dug in, it feels like he's willing to sit out however long it's going to take to get the deal done. We're talking with Adam Schefter, guys, and we're going to talk about why you should get screened. And he's a spokesperson for type 1 diabetes. We're going to get to that in just a sec. Adam, let me ask you about the Falcons, man, because everybody here in Atlanta is excited. What are you hearing around the NFL when it comes to Michael Penix? What's the sense you get?
Well, I think he's got a chance to be a great quarterback. You know, if you watched him last year, you could not be encouraged by what he showed. Big time talent. You know, you got to see more of it this year. But that was such a great quarterback class, and we'll see more of that quarterback class with JJ McCarthy. But I think if you watched him, like the vibes on him, the talk on him, people have been around. I think everybody's really excited about it. You could see why Atlanta drafted him, and now you have to go out and, you know, get it done on the field. But I think people are pretty excited about him.
Adam Schefter, you recognize the pipes, the ultimate NFL insider with us here on Dukes and Bell. Obviously, we're close to it here in Atlanta. We feel we've got a really good young defense. I mean, do you feel this team is still going to be a real stretch, Adam, to make the playoffs?
The Falcons?
Yeah.
I mean, they should be challenging for the NFC South title right now. And so, to me, there's no reason they couldn't get that done. But you know, the Bucks have won, what, 4 straight NFC South titles.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think you have to make them the favorite, but there's no reason the Falcons shouldn't be competing. Falcons could have and should have won the division last year and didn't do it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right? So they're going to feel like they're better with the pass rushers they drafted. And if that's the case, then they'll give Tampa a run for their money.
Adam, before we talk about why you're involved and why you're trying to bring more attention to type 1 diabetes and the detection of it, I want to ask you about the Steelers. That's also been a big topic this offseason, right, where everybody's talking about Aaron Rodgers. How long would they wait? I think you broke the news about, you know, him going there, and he showed up, I think, at mandatory minicamp, which a lot of people didn't expect that to happen. But they made a lot of moves. They are all in. Are you believing, are you buying what the Steelers are trying to do there?
Well, this has been a very un-Steeler-like offseason. Right? Like, they've done things that Steelers don't normally do. They went out and they traded for DK Metcalf. They signed a veteran quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. They traded for Jalen Ramsey. They traded for Jonnu Smith. They traded away Minkah Fitzpatrick. Like, when did the Pittsburgh Steelers become wheelers and dealers?
Right.
That's not something that normally happens, but that's what they did this offseason. Obviously, they felt like what they were doing wasn't good enough because they had lost 6 straight postseason games. So they're trying something different. We'll see how it works out. There weren't many teams that were any more aggressive than they were. So, you know, we'll see how that works out this season, but they've certainly made wholesale changes to that team right now.
It is Adam Schefter with us, guys. He's advocating for early T1D detection. Spokesperson, is it Sanofi screen for type 1 movement? What's it all about?
Basically, you know, and we could talk about Micah Parsons and Trey Hendrickson and Michael Penix and every other thing, but honestly, the truth of the matter is, if there's one message that I'd want your listeners to take away today, it would be about being screened for type 1 diabetes. My wife, Shari, she's a type 1 diabetic. I've seen what it's like for her to manage this disease. It is not fun. It's why I've partnered with Sanofi to raise awareness about the importance of screening for type 1 diabetes, which my wife has. Type 1 can't be prevented, but it can be detected early, and screening can give you the valuable time that you need to prepare. And that's why it's important for people to make a plan to visit their doctor. To start with, you can go to the website, screenfortype1.com, to learn more about type 1 diabetes. Screenfortype1.com. Talk to your doctor about T1D. Tell them you want to be screened. Go to the website. Do whatever you can. But again, early information is currency. That's how I've made my living. And I want everyone to know that early knowledge is crucial when it comes to their health.
Yeah, and more people, certainly, we're finding out more about this disease and certainly, you know, dealing with it and living with it, as you just talked about your wife. It is important, and I think, you know, being in here in Atlanta, Mike and I always tell guys all the time, you got to go. You got to go get checked out, man. You got to go and get the screenings and give yourself a chance to find out what's going on with you. Adam, Terry McLaurin, is that deal going to get done? That's also a very disgruntled individual right now with the Commanders.
Yeah, look, these are holdout situations for a reason, because deals are not easy to do, right? Complicated, not so simple. And, you know, Terry McLaurin has seen some of the big deals that have gone around to wide receivers this offseason. He's got numbers that are better than DK Metcalf, D. Higgins. He wants to be paid accordingly. The Commanders have not hit his number. And so we're waiting. You know, the Commanders can say, well, you know, DK Metcalf gets 33, but Mike Evans got 24 in Tampa, which is the right number.
Right.
I know Terry McLaurin believes he's worth DK Metcalf and then some. So I think that's one of the reasons that they're stuck, and we'll see how the two sides can get it figured out.
We have two chains in Atlanta, Carl. I'm guessing he's got 4 phones. Adam Schefter for all his NFL insider scoop. We've kind of resolved now to Kirk Cousins being here, Adam, and now we're just waiting to see. We don't want to wish this on anybody, but a team that loses a starting quarterback, and that seems to be the only way we'll get him off the roster.
That's my read on it right now, right? Like, he would be plan A for any team that suffers an unfortunate quarterback injury in camp. And we don't want that to happen for anybody. But I think if there were a team that lost a quarterback, watch how fast that conversation shifts to Kirk Cousins. It would take all 3 seconds before that quarterback went down, before Kirk Cousins' name would come up. And I think he'd be the first guy that teams would line up to explore a trade for.
Shefty, speaking of quarterbacks, Brian Daboll announced that Russell Wilson is the Giants starter. obviously Jameis is there, and then they drafted Jackson Dart. At some point, though, right, they're gonna try to give the future a chance with Dart. But Russell Wilson, at least according to Dable today, has been announced as the starting quarterback. That surprise you or no?
No. The plan has been for Russell Wilson to be a starter. He just formalized it today. And really the only quarterback question in New York is how soon or when will they go to Jackson Dart. I think everybody believes it will happen at some point in time. But the question is, can Russell Wilson play well enough early on, win enough games to stop any Jackson Dart conversation and keep that job? And the more he wins and the better he plays, the longer they'll keep Jackson Dart on the bench. If the Giants are, I'm making this up, 6-3, are they going to bench Russell Wilson? I don't think so. If they're 3-6, are they going to bench Russell? Yeah, it comes into play. So Russell gets to control that right now and have a say in that. And as long as he's playing well and winning games, there really won't be much of a conversation. But the moment that stops, everything's on the table.
Adam, with your knowledge of what's going on inside the NFL, is Tom Brady really calling the shots, or is he just consulting? What exactly is he doing with the Raiders?
I think that he's a sounding board. He's there as an advisor. He's there to offer help. I think he was definitely involved in the coaching search and the GM search. And I think once they got their people in place, he's happy to hand off the ball, live his life, and let them make decisions and run the franchise. He's somebody that they know he's always there. They could always lean on him. And I'm sure he'll be around the team some, but I think he's trying to intentionally keep his distance because he wants people to be able to do their jobs.
It makes sense. And look, perception's reality, and the more he's around it, you're right. People think that he's making the calls. As Adam reported today, the Falcons and Steelers, the last two teams to report to training camp today, which means all 32 teams, should I say, camps are open. And that's why we're excited. No better way to kick off the show than with the best guy out there, and Adam Schefter. Shefty, man, wishing your wife the best. Again, give the information, give the website one more time for folks who are just tuning in.
Yeah, again, we're just encouraging people to be screened for type 1 diabetes, which my wife, Shari, battles on a day-to-day basis. Screening can give people valuable time to prepare. It's important to make a plan, and they can go to the website, screenfortype1.com, to learn more about type 1 diabetes. Talk to your doctor about T1D. Tell them you want to be screened. Go to the website, screenfortype1.com.
Right on.
Shefty, man, appreciate you, brother. As always, glad to know that things are going well. Continue to kill it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Cool, Mike, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Great to be with you today.
Absolutely.
You got it, man. Yeah, especially you said it, bro. Don't be afraid to get, you know, how many guys don't see the doctor? And you and I, you got to do a certain age, man. You got to be there. African-Americans, guys, you're carrying a little bit extra weight. Like, a lot of us can lose some LBs. My dad got diagnosed with diabetes. Yeah. Later in life, had to take insulin. So, it's, you know, it affects your life, man. You got to live healthy.
It's real. My mom was type 2. I have a brother that's type 1, was born that way, and he's dealt with his entire life, had to manage it. So, certainly, somebody you know is dealing with that, and that's a great message from Adam. Great way to kick off the show, guys. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 404-726-0929. And look, there are a lot of storylines that are out there. But the Penix storyline, as camp gets underway tomorrow, and we will be there, all of our shows, as we've been telling you, Morning Shift, Steakhouse, Andy and Randy, all live from Flower Branch. We're doing our show live from Hooters Mall of Georgia after practice is done. And word on the street is we may be talking to a quarterback or two. So make sure you tune in tomorrow to find out what that's going to be, because you never know who we're going to get and what's going to happen at camp.
But little birdie told me it's going to be pretty cool.
I hope so. All right.
See, are you proud of me? I'm not. See, Day-Day, who says I can't keep a secret?
Well, the show's not over yet.
That's true.
We got plenty to chop up, man, including Braves lose.
It's going to be hard for me to sit on this one.
ACC Media Days going on. And, oh, yeah, Georgia Tech, stand up, because your head coach is coming on the show today as well. Brent Key's on the way. Falcons training camp getting underway. Guys reporting. We'll talk about it. Some guys made a grand entrance today. It's coming up on Dukes and Bell.
This is Andrew Perloff with a Sports Minute. The Cowboys are the definition of NFL insanity. No one should be
subscribed to Dukes and Bell. Make sure you get all of our content. Hey, man, guys making their way to camp today. They check in, okay? And when they check in, this is like the official start. They get all the little goodies, right? It's like summer camp.
It's almost like a mini red carpet because the cameras are out there, so you can, if you want, mug for the cameras, or like the NBA when the stars of the WNBA, when they're walking into the building, you can kind of do your thing. And I was kind of surprised. You know, I mean, maybe this is a loose attitude. We were talking about this with Day-Day, our producer in Orin. Maybe Pitts is just loosey-goosey, and he don't give a blank, and maybe that'll translate to something. But he came with a little swag, a little bit of moves out there as he was rolling into the headquarters today.
Look, I think, this is just me, that our quarterback, the guy that he's going to be working with this season, is giving him confidence. And I think that is why he may feel, Mike, like you said, I don't give a damn. Mm-hmm. But it also comes with people believing in you. And if Michael Penix has related that to him, then maybe that is something that has been kind of building to get to this point. Like, I can't get back. I can't wait to get back to camp. One, I am completely healthy. That's number one. Number two, I got a guy that believes in me and says he's going to give me the ball. Okay, great. Now I got to go prove it. But Mike's right. If you didn't see the footage, the Falcons posted it, and he's strutting in. He's having fun.
Usually, kind of does like a freeze frame, kind of slow move. I liked it. Yeah. I mean, hey, no.
But normally, Kyle is a guy with his head down, and I'm going to get to my destination. That's who he is.
Right, right.
It's not, I don't, you know, I'm not grinning for the cameras. I don't even want to stop and really talk to you guys. That's not who he's been. So to have a little fun today, yeah, made me feel good. Bijan's Bijan. He comes in. What's up, y'all? Walks in. He looks like, okay, we're about to do this.
But with a smile, as Steak would say, that lights up a room, Carl.
Well, listen, everybody loves the kid. And I think, Mike, when we talk about the best running backs in the league this year, he's going to be in that conversation. He was in it last year, but, you know, Saquon runs for 2,000 yards. It's just a different deal. But I think Bijan's going to be in that conversation. But to see some of this footage, man, the Falcons put it out there. And then, of course, MPJ, that's Michael Penix Jr., walking in. He was almost like, what are y'all doing here? Because he comes in, he's got his hoodie on. He's like, and somebody said to me on social media, they go, man, he looks bigger. Oh, he's got some clothes on. I don't know if he's necessarily bigger, but he does. Maybe, Mike, maybe he's been working out. Maybe he's been in the gym.
Man, you cut up like a julienne salad. You got any tips for me? I'm looking to come up a little bit myself. Hey, Day-Day, you ever seen Days of Thunder? Come on now. I'm just saying, you cut, man. You got good shape.
Yeah. I
look like He-Man.
I hope he is. I hope he is. But with that said, man, Mike, I like it. I like the vibe. I like it. This is what guys should be doing.
Well, I asked Adam Schefter. I mean, I was just because, you know, we get so much meh from National. So when the guy hit me up, why are you asking that? I mean, no, I think we're going to be a 10-win team. I don't think it's going to be easy because I think the schedule's tough. But that's why I want to get Schefter's, you know, perception. It's the guy who's, you know, covered all of the league.
Yep.
And he goes, yeah, he would be surprised if we don't make the playoffs this year. You know, so there's, if other folks like Vegas have us at 7.5, there's a guy that's in the National know that at least thinks we are going to be in the playoffs one way or the other, whether we win the division or it's wild card.
Well, he said, you know what he said? He says what all Falcon fans said. They should have did it last year.
And we should have.
That's what he's like.
We had a team good enough to do it. Now the question is, how is, you know, Penix versus, you know, a Kurt that was good for 4 weeks and then not good for 4 weeks? And then kind of meh in the other ones, like the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, it is. That line, by the way, Tropic Thunder's the movie, and that was Robert Downey's character Mike was quoting there. as we love that movie. It's just got great lines
in it. Hey, man, you know how Rambo 1 and David Little Puff in that Rambo 2, he got all shredded up?
Yeah.
That's kind of how you look right now.
Oh.
You know, not Rambo 1, but 2.
Really?
Yeah, when he was cut up.
Well, I'm not that. I mean, I'm, that's what I'm going for. But
come on, dude. You're more shredded than a Julian salad, man.
Thanks, yeah.
What's the secret, dude?
It's a diet. It's a diet. Really? Yeah.
Because I'm trying to come up a little, but it's just, it's tough.
No, you look good.
In the tips?
Yeah. What?
In the tips you got?
Robert Downey killed that part.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, it's amazing. That's like 16 years old now, that film. It's unbelievable. But yeah, it's one of my faves.
It is. All right. And we're just talking about the entrance, man. The guys making their entrance into Flowery. And look, it's not a big deal. But to Mike's point, like a Kyle pitch, you might expect him to be a little tight.
And as we said, we've had fun with it because, you know, there was that, you know, the montage video we had some fun with the first 2 days. The highlights of him catching passes and working out with the quarterback and the other receivers and getting ready. He's focused like a laser.
He's coming.
Cue the montage.
He's coming.
And then we hear, you know, we also didn't get to see him at minicamp, mandatory minicamp. He was banged up with the foot injury, and they were super cryptic about it. Then there were two published reports. Now, you can say how factual or how close they were, but there was reports that we were at least taking calls or at least discussing the idea of trading Pitts. So that's why it's kind of interesting to see what is his countenance, for lack of a better word, as he comes into camp. He's loose and ready to roll, it looks like.
You know what? I forgot about those rumors, about the whole trade stuff.
Right.
I mean, I did. I guess that was out there, and we did discuss it. There was no traction there. It was just stuff that got out there in the fodder. But I forgot about that. So, look, he's here. He's ours. What is he going to do and make the best of it? And we're not simply focused on Pitts. We're just saying he's one of the guys that came in a little bit looser than other guys. And look, they could take videos of every player, but they only posted a few of them. But they're all there. And you know, guys are speaking today. Lindstrom talking about, I think we all know that there's a responsibility to the fan base and to the city to perform. Remember we had this conversation with Jesse Bates, Mike, and I asked him about the urgency, and we asked A.J. Terrell, I said, do you guys feel it? And I'm like, yeah, we feel it. AJ's like, man, I've been here. I ain't played in the playoffs yet.
No, I mean, look, he's a competitor. You've seen he played in bigger games. As to be honest, he played in bigger games at Clemson than he ever played with the Falcons. Unfortunately, now, we had some big moments like last year down the stretch against the Commanders, which kind of felt like a playoff game. But the actual playoffs, you're right. These guys, and they're sick of hearing it, too. Believe me.
They are.
We caught that at the mini camp when we were up there broadcasting live. Not the guys are walking around with a chip on their shoulder, but there is an edge.
There is an edge. Couple of other things we are learning today, and again, a few guys available to the media as they made their way in and checked in for camp. Mike and I will be there tomorrow, and again, big guest on the show tomorrow. Mike K. Nellis on Jalen Walker says, I think sky's the limit for the kid. I understand why they drafted him. I see his explosiveness. Bijan says McCaffrey's recovery process was one of the biggest things he learned from the fellow star running back, talking about how to get his body back and get right. Remember, McCaffrey kind of overworked himself and then injured himself, and that's kind of what happened and set him back. But just a few things coming out today, and it's kind of cool to look at this and say, all right, this is the mindset. But I love what Lindstrom had to say. Mike, Ryan Neuzel, Lindstrom saying he is a very good EA Sports college football guy. He'll run up the score on you. Having fun talking about some of the downtime that they'll have at camp. There won't be a lot of that, but maybe some of these guys that are gamers will get a chance to play each other. 404-726-0929. Where's your excitement level? I'm asking you guys. You can hit us up on the text line. You can call us and let us know. If it is a 5, I want to know why. Because I think it should be 7 or more. I really do. Like, I'm not asking you to be a 10. I get it. We're not the Eagles. We're not returning champs. But it can be a 2, Mike, with the newness of what we're looking at. And you keep talking about Penix in the city, man.
Right.
I don't know if we can talk enough about that. Like,
no,
I just don't.
I just think people are excited. You know, I mentioned yesterday, it was 2 days back, and the Mike Vick 30 for 30 was on, and I was like, wow, man, you watch that first, it's like anything else. You watch the first 45 minutes, and it's just stop it right there. You know, just we get to 2006.
What year was that? Did he stop?
I would say if you're watching that, stop in 2004 after we go to the NFC Championship against the Eagles, because that's the high watermark, and it's all downhill from there. And it's fresh, and it's just a sidebar. I was telling Carl off the air, it's funny. Yeah, you know what it is, and we've had some great interviews subsequently with, you know, Mike Vick and how he's grown as a human being and owning the mistakes and owning the lack of dedication. You just wish, I mean, there's other things I'd like to have a time machine for, but if I had a sports time machine to go back and, you know, and say, look, when he gets that $100 million contract, dude, please, here's where your future is. You're going to wind up in Leavenworth prison if you don't straighten up. Just let those guys call you a phony or whatever. Discard all those dudes from Newport News and just focus on your career and have that. If you had, you know, any of the dedication, take all your favorite quarterbacks that put the work in. Because I would love, that's the great what if for me. Because we only really, if you really look at it, scratch the surface. Because of the distractions and all the other things that mounted up. But again, it played out how it played. And I thought Andy Reid got more out of it. But at the end, he wasn't the same athlete. You know, when he was with the Eagles.
No, he was a better quarterback.
Right.
But that was preparation.
But if you could have had that in its prime, I mean, that's, again, it's one of those great what-ifs. What if somebody could have, you know, in his circle, or hell, even Dan Reeves. The Falcons, they coddled him. That's the other thing that comes out of that documentary, is how there was just never, ever any accountability with the organization. And Jim Mora Jr. owned it, too.
Yeah. It is funny, because you look back at that, and obviously the lowest point probably for the franchise when you talk about the negative publicity and all the things that came with it. But we are a long way removed from that. And Mike Vick has been welcomed back with open arms. And certainly, you know, where this franchise is going to go moving forward is going to define what people think about Atlanta and thinks about this football team. Mike, Chris Lindstrom, because he was one of the guys. There were three guys speaking today. It was Bijan, it was Lindstrom, and it was Caden Ellis, okay? Lindstrom said this, and I thought this was kind of interesting today in the open session with the Falcons, talking about the rookies. And Lindstrom was saying that, when asked that the rookies really impressed him in OTAs and minicamp with the way they came in prepared and the way they went after it. And we keep talking about rookies contributing to what we think is going to be a big year. Look, I don't know if Chris Lindstrom knows something we don't, but when you say the rookies blew my doors off.
I presume that's the rookies he's facing up against. You know, I mean, we can imagine when you look, you know, at the guys from Ruka, Row, and certainly, you know, seeing what Jalen Walker looks like. Because Jalen Walker, we saw what he was. He's a beast. We think we know what we've got I think we're going to be okay. You know, we've talked about Pierce Jr. And is he going to be a guy that, especially after talking to his teammate, was it Bryce? Who was it? I always forget the last name. Bryson Eason was his teammate, the defensive tackle for Tennessee. Bryson Pierce. Talking about James Pierce Jr. and just what he was at Tennessee, which goes counter to all the crap that came out pre-draft. So that's great.
It is. I'm just bringing this up because, again, when asked about the rookies, quote, they blew my doors off in terms of preparation and how they worked in OTAs and mandatory minicamp.
And that could go for the secondary pieces, too.
Correct. Let's hope so. Because we're going to need some contributions from the guys that we drafted in a big way. These guys are not sitting on the sideline. All right, 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell. We'll come back. Steve Weiss joined us yesterday. We'll let you hear what he said about no more excuses. We got to get to the daily download as well. As we mentioned, Braves lose. Matt Olson 3-for-5. But Davis Daniels allowed 5 runs on 7 hits. He's been DFA'd. Georgia Tech fans like Dukes and Bell. When's Brent Key coming on? Well, he's going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour, handling his duties at ACC Media Days, but he will join us coming up here on the show. Tomorrow we're live at Falcons training camp, and we'll be bringing you the latest. As we said, big guest going to join us. We'll have a couple of other guests as well, and then we're going to do the show from Hooters Mall of Georgia. And for every day there's an open practice that we will be up there, and most times you guys, if you can make it, we know you're not going to be at every practice, and that's why you should tune in every day to make sure you get caught up on everything that's going on and with the Falcons. But for those days, we're going to be pretty much doing the show up there from the Mall of Georgia Hooters. But there's one day, and we'll let you know, that we're going to be at Buffalo's Cafe, Mike. So that's the one. It's like one Wednesday, but we'll get you caught up with that, man. But we're looking forward to it.
And again, looking forward to seeing the crowd. I already found out that basically all the tickets are made available to the fans. And again, go to the Falcons website for the future weekends or weekdays, whatever you can get there, that are open to the public. Because to go from basically nothing to having that kind of great vibe, like some, you know, whatever the number is, 1,500 to 2,000 people on the side of the hill, bringing some energy and some juice, that's going to be a lot of fun. And the players, they talked about it last year. Some of the veterans missing some of that energy.
No doubt. And I think, you know, everybody talks about, oh, you have to create your own energy. You do, but it helps when the fans are there.
Right.
You just, you know.
You make a big play and you're like, ah! I mean, that's...
It's better.
And other than, you know, they always have every practice now in the NFL's got, you know, music in the background, whether it's hard rock or hip-hop, to kind of create some energy and also make things, you know, a little more juice. But to have the crowd going, that's just a different energy, period.
Yeah, man. By the way, with the Falcons, and we'll tell you more about things that were said today from Chris Lindstrom, Kate Nellis also speaking to the media, and Bijan Robinson, all that stuff is on the way. Right now, though, we got to get to the Daily Download. Well, there are not a lot of highlights, are there, Mike, from the Braves game last night? Okay, maybe one.
Yeah, you picked up a guy in a trade. You traded a nobody to pick up a guy who's a journeyman. He does have a tie to Atlanta. He was raised and moved to Alabama, played baseball for Auburn. But unfortunately, and you're pulling for the guy, but there's just nothing going on. It's kind of rinse-repeat, where you've got a dude that's unfortunately trying to hang out in the show. He doesn't really have, you know, anything. By the way, great job by Brandon Gardner and CJ Nikowski and Paul Byrd doing everything humanly possible to make this broadcast interesting last night. Day-Day, did you see that? They got into the grip because CJ picked up on, well, he's kind of using a middle finger to push off that changeup, and then there was nothing going on. And look, you feel for the kid, Davis Daniel. And here he was, and there he goes. And he's DFA'd the day later.
5 runs, 7 hits. The one highlight, Acuna for life. Another assist for Ronald Acuna. This dude, man, he's different. Here's the throw by Acuna.
Right center. This one is going to be off the wall. I'll throw him out. Patrick Bailey. Safe. We'll see if they review it. Perfectly played by Ronald, and a bullet here, and a nice kind of one hop, easy to handle for Ozzy. Oh yeah, right,
he's
there.
He's out.
Off. Yeah,
it looks like Ronald is going to get another assist,
and he did.
And it was funny because, you know, Ronald, it wasn't like he ran over there. He just played it perfectly, and just doof and makes that perfect throw. At first, I was like, it's basically, it was on the Giants runner because his left leg, his lead leg didn't hit the bag. And then basically, Ozzie just travels the glove, pow, got it right, well, at the belt line, and it was out. And again, good to use the technology, and they got it right. But that's, as you said, the only shining moment of that game.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's funny because I guess, you know, teams are like, well, they're not that good, so I'm going to challenge Ronald. Good luck with that.
Right.
He's like, keep challenging me if you want to. I'm going to keep throwing guys out. By the way, Braves losing top of the eighth right now, 9-3 as we speak. Hey, man, let's get to story number two. All right, college football front and center. We mentioned Brent Key's going to join us, Mike. This is Tony Petitti, Big Ten commissioner, because the Big Ten media days are going on as well, Las Vegas. But he was asked about the future of the college football playoff format. Remember, he feels one way. Greg Sankey feels another. Here's Petitti.
Like the revenue share parameters, the Big Ten and SEC's format control is set forth clearly in the agreement that all members signed. With respect to format, the Big Ten has been consistent in its strong preference for a playoff system that allocates spots based on conference standings and the results of play-in games. We want to better connect the regular season and the postseason. A critical goal of any postseason format, regardless of sport, is to keep as many teams alive as deep into the season as possible. We want more conference games to matter in November. Also, the playoff format should not function as a disincentive to schedule tough non-conference games. As we said throughout this process, we are open to considering any format ideas that come from our colleagues or the CFP staff. But to be clear, formats that increase the discretion and role of the CFP selection committee will have a difficult time gaining support from the Big Ten.
He wants to limit the committee's ability to have selection choices, and he wants the more games during the regular season to have a role in deciding the end result, which is why they're asking the SEC, add that ninth game, won't you guys? SEC says, slow your roll. We're not ready to do that yet. But he's laying out his parameters, Mike, as to why and what he thinks about the future of the college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, you look at you know, some of the bigger games, Texas going to Ohio State, Oklahoma going to Michigan, and that's great. But, you know, the one thing that kind of came front and center because he opened his big trap was Kurt Cignetti, the Indiana coach, who's dropping Virginia from their schedule. And no disrespect to Kennesaw State, but, you know, that's going in against a Big Ten team. They're playing, like, just absolute weak out of conference scheduled, and the SEC is playing LSU at Clemson. You know, they have the natural rivalry with Clemson at South Carolina, Georgia Tech for Georgia, Texas A&M going to Notre Dame, Florida going to Miami. I mean, that trumps a lot of what you're seeing in the Big Ten, with all due respect. So I understand what he wants, but until the college playoff committee, and that's the variable for me. I want to see a nine-game schedule. I think we all want to see nine games conference schedule for Georgia. But if you're not going to be rewarded for it, if you're going to get penalized for it, and somebody like Indiana can leapfrog you while you're playing a rough-and-tumble conference schedule, there's no reason for Georgia and the rest of the SEC to do it.
I don't think they're going to come to an agreement anytime soon. By the way, speaking of media days, Mike Norvell talked about FSU having a bounce-back season after a disappointing year.
Oh, boy.
That's got to make you feel good.
Yeah, you betcha. Yeah, I saw something here where he's talking about, you know, last year we were trying to kind of doing some things to force leadership.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have any. Remember the soundbite after they lost to Boston College after, you know, Billy O'Brien did the same thing that Brent Keating would just run it right at him. And he said, we're looking for leaders. You're looking for leaders in week two? You remember you and I talked about this last September. You don't have any. So what is the culture? He's still in a real big sort of a crossroads of transfer portal guys. And I hope he's got some dudes. Next year, Florida State's recruiting class is top 20, according to most of the sites. But big, big question mark. I don't know what Norvell's got. I think a lot of Florida State fans, Carl, if they could, they'd get rid of him because that was an unmitigated disaster. You can't afford to buy this guy out.
No, you can't.
You're stuck with him.
No, that's the problem. By the way, UNC, ACC Media Day is going on, sells out all their single season tickets and their season tickets for 2025. This is the Belichick effect, guys. Mm. Now, they don't want anything, but Mike, everybody's thinking they're going to be good. Like, he's going to sprinkle the magic sauce on here, and all of a sudden, UNC is going to be good. I'm not believing it, but this is what's going on. They have sold out all their season tickets.
Well, after all that stuff that was written, The Athletic mostly, and a few in Sporting News, and, of course, the Pablo Torre stuff, saying that there was a lot of friction between the their version of whoever runs the boosters, the athletic department, the trustees in Carolina, the university president, after the soap opera with Bill and his girlfriend. But we'll see. I mean, he's building this after like an NFL team, a professional approach with his manager and all that. But I just, what's the big recruiting coup for North Carolina? Is there one?
No.
No.
Have you seen one day-day?
Mike, they're not even ranked in the top 30 when it comes to recruiting. Right. Now, I don't know about the portal. That's always different.
Right.
But remember, when you go into the portal, I mean, like the rankings and, you know, from where you were coming out of high school and you got recruited to what maybe you've done the last 2 years, Mike, some of these kids in the portal, we know this. They've been to four schools in the last 5 years.
Right.
So I don't know what that looks like for UNC. Nor do I, you know, am going to attempt to tell you, but I just don't feel like it's been a difference-making type year when you say, hey, Bill Belichick's here, and now they have a top-five class. That hasn't happened.
Now, it's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
Now, apparently 37 transfers under Belichick. Phil Steele had them as 57th in FBS, but their transfer portal class, according to, I guess, is this Rivals or 24/7, had them at top 10, at number 9,
okay,
as far as the transfers that came into the program. So we'll see.
Hey, we're going to see. Hey, let's get to story number three. Daily Download brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Also coming up, we've got another family four-pack to give you to come hang out with us as we are going to be up at Margaritaville, guys, at Lake Lanier Islands. That's going to happen August 1st. And we'll be doing our show live up there, 2 to 6. Tickets provided by Margaritaville at Lake Lanier Islands Water Park. Tickets on sale at MargaritavilleResorts.com. Falcons made their way in, reporting today. Everybody's there. Tomorrow camp gets underway. And let's get to it. Finally, football is back. And for all the conversation and all the stuff we've talked about this offseason, this group, these guys have a chance to prove it. Now, we talked to Steve Weiss yesterday from NFL Network, and he said, in his opinion, there are no more excuses when it comes to this Falcon football team.
Well, it should be. I mean, we've talked about it before. I mean, where are the excuses for the Falcons now, right? You know, their draft plan of drafting Michael Penix after signing Kirk Cousins, it's in effect. Michael Penix is the quarterback. You know, they go out, they add to their defense. They finally pay attention to edge rusher in the draft, and they get two. The offensive line is good. The running backs are good. The receiver room is good. So where are the excuses? There aren't any. It is time to show up, let the process, let the plan play out, and see if it results in a playoff berth. And I mean, I think the expectations should be high. I think the fans should demand that this team win ball games because, frankly, when you look at the roster, when you look at the coaching staff, I'll say it once again, there aren't any excuses.
I agree with Steve, man. And D. Orlando Ledbetter, thanks, Mike and Carl. He posted today as Caden Ellis, it's one of the first Falcons today, sort of check-in day, as Carl mentioned, saying that he's excited about Jeff Ulbrich and the new-look defense and how he's putting the defense together. And he says that he thinks it's going to come together pretty quick. So, again, we love Caden. I thought he was a guy that was not, you know, didn't maximize his talents last year at times with Jimmy Lake. A little bit better later in the season when Rock got involved.
You know why he's excited, Mike? Because he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, Jimmy was not good. It wasn't good.
Have you ever been, you ever take a class and you realize the professor or the teacher's like, they don't know what they're doing. Like, they're supposed to teach this class, but it's like, you feel like it's a lost cause as soon as they open their mouth. That is what I sense happened last year. Not dogging the guy out, but, Mike, it was obvious. This defense was a mess.
I've had many experiences in radio working with people in management who I got the impression really didn't know what they were doing without naming names. But, yes, so now hopefully these guys will be in a place to succeed. Everybody, and Carl mentioned, if you missed the top of the show, where were you? But he mentioned that Chris Lindstrom was talking about, man, there's some really impressed with the rookie class. We presume that to mean some of the guys he's looking at across the line.
Yeah. Look, it gets me excited when guys get excited about what they're seeing because, again, this is what we heard the rumors last year about Penix and how good he looked at practice and nobody was saying because we didn't think he was going to play. So it was one of those moot points, Mike, that we really didn't discuss, but we were hearing that. And so to hear this from a guy that's pretty damn good, Chris Lindstrom, guys, we got one of the best guards in the league.
Right.
And if he's seeing this and feeling this, then hopefully that's going to translate to some guys performing on the field.
I'm excited. Now, how excited? We'll find out. Because I said I'd be pragmatic. And then after minicamp.
How pragmatic?
Well, I got a little juiced in minicamp, you know, talking to, you know, the guys. And you know, it was the AJ Terrell conversation, talking to some of the dudes off the air. But I talked to Day Day. You know, I got to get back to my initial statement.
What's that?
Pre-draft.
What's that?
Prove it. Show
Mike
me.
Mike Missouri Bell, show me. Are you going back to this?
I just feel like I have been, have I not been the one-man hype machine for this team? And you too. I'm the hype team. But I'm just feeling, you know, tomorrow, we'll see, Carl. We'll see how I feel. I know people are excited about coming to Hooters.
See how you feel.
I mean, well, it's just guys in helmets and shorts, man. I mean, we got to see some hitting. We'll see some pods, some pads popping.
That's going to happen in due time. I just want to see him make some explosive plays. That's what I'd like to see.
Orange shaking his head. I know.
I want to get back to saying, what's up, Darnell? I want to get back to Drake making spectacular plays. I want to get back to Pitts. Okay, I'm hoping Pitts does something.
For me to say I won't be excited tomorrow is like saying you won't be excited for Christmas as a little kid. It's stupid. You know, you're going to be like, woohoo. But, you know, it's 7 years without the playoffs,
it's
man.
It's a long time, bro.
You look at any – we are looking at those teams that you think about before the Lions got their act together. You know, like a decade of just meh.
Like I'm starving right now.
Starving for quality football.
I feel that's how I feel.
Well, I mean, we left Tampa. We got back on the plane down there. It was fun. Man, we're on top of the world. Yeah, we lost it. You know, we had a loss in there, but we beat the Cowboys. Remember beating the Cowboys? Felt good.
Oh, it felt great.
And then the wheels came off.
Yeah. I mean, Dak was out of that game. Cowboy fans were leaving the stadium early. It was the best. All right. We're coming back. We got a lot more to get into, guys. Micah Parsons responds, speaking of the Cowboys. Boy, he sounds like this thing's getting personal. Also, Brent Key, on the way, Georgia Tech head football coach, will join us in the 3 o'clock hour. It's Dukes and Bell. Mm-hmm.